you going?
Yeah, we're going.
Excellent. So, we just had a holiday, Remembrance Day.
Yeah.
And,
I was working.
Yep. Anything cool happen while you were working?
No, I was just running around, like, punching in a lot of beers and taking a lot of money and giving a lot of change.
I can bet that army people drink a lot.
On Remembrance Day, it is a very... It's a long day for the bartenders, but it's a good day.
Yeah. So, this week...
Oh, on BC is Creepy, because that is what this podcast is.
All right. We can still introduce ourselves. Yeah. I figured, since they're listening to us,
they You might never know. You get, like, I think our haters, they have only ever listened to that one episode.
Satanic Panic became very popular.
Yeah, for people hating on it.
It wasn't real.
Yeah, no.
It didn't happen.
Nope.
Okay. But in relevant news today, Gerard Butler's house and Will Smith's house and a whole bunch of celebrities' houses recently burnt down because California was on fire.
It still is.
It hasn't stopped. So in Vancouver, I thought I'd talk about our own fire.
Oh, very relevant. Very relevant of you, Topher Graham.
Yeah, very relevant from like 120.
That was my stealthy way of introducing you.
Oh, I'm Topher Graham. And this is Ariel Hansen.
Yes.
And
AKA Scariel Hansen. That was my Halloween Twitter name, and I'm not changing it.
Halloween Twitter name. Scariel Hansen.
I'm also not feeling very good today, though. No. I was really sick yesterday.
Is this just getting worse? You should maybe go to a doctor.
No, I'll be fine.
Anyway, 140 years ago,
ooh,
at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on June 13th, 1886, a Sunday. So, you know, holy day.
Mm-hmm.
This city of Vancouver, which was only 2 months old, and had about 1,000 wooden buildings.
Yep.
Caught fire.
Oh.
Yeah. And Errol, you might remember this. Did you go on the Lost Souls of Gastown tour with me?
No, I did not.
So then you don't know about this.
No.
Excellent.
I only know from, like, if they talked about it on the Haunted Trolley tour.
I don't think so. So... Vancouver used to be mostly in Gastown, waterfront, lots of logging, that was their main industry, and I guess Vancouver didn't burn, says one eyewitness, but it exploded, and the whole city burnt to the ground in just under 45 minutes.
Whoa.
Some sources say even as quickly as like 20 minutes.
Wow.
So,
I mean, like, it's so damp here, you wouldn't expect that to happen, but was this, like, the summer?
This was June 13th.
Okay.
So, it could have been quite hot.
I clearly am not paying enough attention right now.
You're sick.
Yeah. My brain hurts.
Yeah. There's just a lot of fiery chaos. So, this fire started because some Canadian Pacific Railway workers were clearing the land, and a gust of wind blew their controlled fires into dry bush, which caught, like, very quickly, and then it just spread to the town, which was mostly wooden buildings.
I mean, it makes sense to make wooden buildings here.
Yeah. Well, at the time, it was a very popular thing, and it caused problems, not just here, but Seattle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they burned, too.
Yeah. I feel like this was a pretty common phenomenon back in the day when people just really liked wood.
Well, we still do. Like, yeah. Wood frame buildings are still really common.
Yeah.
We're just better at not starting fires in suburban areas.
Yeah. And
controlling them when they start.
Exactly. And just spacing everything out into an appropriate... No?
No. I mean, you look at, like, any street where there's retail and stuff, the buildings are all connected to each other.
True, but most of the buildings just, like, aren't as flammable.
Yeah.
We do have wood, but we also have like concrete and frames and metal and windows.
Windows.
It's been a long weekend.
Yeah, it was a long weekend.
It's been a long day.
Yeah. I've been just homesick all day.
Yeah.
And then I made food, Typhoid Mary style.
Typhoid Mary style.
Just shoving my hands in it.
Yeah, I can definitely taste the remnants of Ariel hands and fingers. So, Vancouver, if any of you are familiar with Vancouver, was really small. Basically, we were along, like, Hastings and the waterfront, and the fire started between, like, Hamilton and Granville Street and went all the way to Dunleavy Street, which was where the sawmill was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, very small compared to what Vancouver is now.
Yeah.
And it was 1886, you know, capital of BC would have been New Westminster.
Yep, because BC and... Or, no, had BC and Vancouver Island combined at that point yet?
I don't remember.
Yeah, because they were separate colonies.
This was 2 months into Vancouver's incorporation.
Mm, I'm surprised they tried again. It's like, yeah. 2 months.
Oh, I mean...
It's all gone.
The people were there. Basically, the city would have been a very temporary setup.
Anyways. Yeah.
So it was ready to rebuild. But the only buildings to survive were the Hastings Mill, a stone building in the West End, and a few buildings near Lake False Creek. But somebody saw the fire, mm-hmm. the clouds of smoke, and began furiously ringing the bell at St. James Church at Powell and Main Street, which was then called Westminster Road. But the bell actually fell victim to the fire when the church caught and like melted into a giant metal-y puddle. But it remains an exhibit at the Museum of Vancouver.
Oh.
Yeah, so you can actually go see this bell that they rang to warn the city about the fire and witness just a piece of history.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very old piece of history. They don't know the exact amount of people who died. There were 8 people confirmed dead, but a lot of people at the time were transients.
Yep.
So you didn't really know who's coming in, coming out. With the new cities, that's just how it was.
One sec, I'm gonna be right back.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna read this quote. It's...
Okay.
Oh no. It's very distracting. There was a daily news article published.
Yeah. What?
There was a. So, newspaper at the time was the Daily News, and I have a quote from the article published mm-hmm. that came out about 4 days after.
Okay.
And somebody actually got a copy of this, which was really cool. But it's not in the archives or anything. Just this private owner. It is to be feared that the 7 whose bodies were recovered constitute only a fraction of the whole number who perished. The total number of victims and their identity will probably never be known, with the exception of Mrs. Nash and Mr. Craswell. The bodies recovered were all burnt to a crisp and barely recognizable as human remains. Mr. Raswell's body was found in a well wherein he took refuge and died of suffocation. A young man named Johnson and his mother were found in the same well. Johnson was dead and Mrs. Johnson had since died. The body of Mr. Fawcett, the soda water manufacturer, was identified by his wife by means of his watch chain. Very graphic. If you can imagine... Everything mm-hmm. went up in flames, and very quickly. So you're running to the water, there's smoke all around you, your lack of oxygen, and a lot of people went into a well to try and find just, you know, the water won't catch fire, but the fire eats up all the oxygen mm-hmm. around you, and you suffocate, or you drown, because you're in a well.
That would suck.
Yeah, fires are terribly traumatic experiences.
Like, could they boil?
Theoretically, if it got hot enough. The wells are, like, deep down into the ground, but people tried to save what they could. One woman waded into the waters of the inlet with her sewing machine, which was all she got away with. There was a Sunday school teacher, L.Z. Hall, who was left with only his Bible. Lachlan Hamilton, the Canadian Pacific Railway Land Commissioner and City Alderman. Now remember, the Canadian Pacific Railway workers were the ones that were doing the controlled fires that caught out of the control. So he dashed to his office and collected the most valuable paper, shoved them in a sheaf under his arm, and ran into the cauldron of fire, breathing air as hot as cinders. And when he reached safety, he saw that the papers were charred black.
Oh, that would suck.
He tried really hard, but, I mean, you can't fight God.
Or science.
Or science. But I have a really funny story that I caught here in one of my sources.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. H.E. Langus lost a anatomical specimen. It was a human skeleton that was found in his office. And when they found it, they said, "This poor fellow must have been very sick. Look, his bones are all wired together." It was crazy. People were, like, jumping into the water to get to safety, because that's the closest thing. And this was a really interesting anecdote. The local Squamish Nation, they were kind of, like, exiled to North Vancouver.
Yeah.
And so they provided help to survivors who were floundering in the water. They all got into, like, canoes and paddled over and, like, actually helped people get to safety. So
did they do anything nice for them after they helped the people?
Probably. Like,
I would hope so.
That's as far as of the anecdote as I got.
Ah.
You know, they didn't. The people who were reporting at the time probably did not care.
Yeah.
A real funny irony in all of this was that the Vancouver Fire Department had just been established 16 days prior. But they couldn't do
it. Oh, were they waiting for a fire truck that was on order?
Yep.
I have heard about this.
It was a big story. It's like the inauguration of our city. They, they had been established on May 28th, 1886, but they only had shovels, buckets, and axes. So if you can imagine, they're like dumping sand onto great giant blazes. And we're going to be surrounded by trees at this point, too. And worthless. When I did the Lost Souls of Gastown tour, they said that the first fire truck of Vancouver was actually bought by sex workers.
Oh.
Now, I couldn't confirm this.
Yeah.
And that doesn't say anything to me, really. Because history, and especially history of prostitution.
His story.
What Ariel said. It's not well documented. So you get anecdotes and they make it to scholars, but online, it won't.
Basically just a lot of stuff unless it's about dudes, it doesn't really get documented as much.
And also just the Christians won't want to tell the story that
the sex workers saved the day.
Yeah, but they were always, like, very wealthy.
Yeah.
Probably the wealthiest people in the towns were the sex workers, at least at the high end.
Yeah, or, like, the madams and...
Yeah, they were the ones that would have gone in and... They did a lot of fundraising because they wanted to help their public image, which, even back then, not very good, really. But what I did find, what I could confirm, was that the city set up a fundraising campaign and paid $6,905 for what they dubbed the Ronald Engine, which arrived in July, a little more than a month after the fire. And it was hauled by a four-horse team over miles of dusty roads and had four hose reels and 2,500 feet of 2.5-inch hose. And when it got here, we didn't actually have any horses to pull it. So the firemen, who were volunteers for a little while, actually had to pull it themselves. Which is really funny because they took like 4 horses to get here.
I'm just now picturing like modern day firemen who do the calendars, pulling this thing shirtless. That would be a sight to behold. They should do that as like a fundraiser.
That would be pretty great.
Like reliving the past and yeah. Except they all have to be shirtless.
But these were all volunteers.
Yeah.
And I've seen some pictures of the people in the city at that time, and I did not see any really buff, sculpted, pectoral, burly dudes.
Yeah.
But you never know.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. One of my bosses used to get, like, the firefighter calendars for the back office, and I think the sexiest firefighter I ever saw was actually a woman. So she looked so strong and at the same time beautiful.
Cool. Yeah. Women who, like, push past and do something great.
Yep.
Did you know that Kim and Kanye actually, like, paid for private firefighters to save their neighborhood?
That's gross.
Yeah.
That's, like, the way it used to be.
Yeah.
Where your house only got, firefighters only help your house if you had fire insurance or something.
I didn't even know there was such a thing as privatized firefighters.
And I didn't know there still were.
Yeah, that's...
But it would also be very ironic, because it would be, like, since houses were so close together and stuff, then, like, even if they put out the fire in your house, your neighbor's house would be on fire, and then... Since they weren't touching that, it could just make your house catch on fire again.
Yeah. I hate the idea of, like, privileged elites who can buy their own safety.
Yep.
That's at the expense of less work for other... Also, it's really disgusting right now. California is using prisoners to fight the fires. So, you're talking, like, slave... wages.
Yeah.
Maybe they like $1 or $2 a day.
Well, they should be sending the military in to fight the fires. Like, yeah. The reserve, like, especially the reserves, because I know that in BC every year that happens. Like, all the guys from my work, a lot of them will get sent to help fight the fires.
Yeah. We talked about that on this show.
Yeah.
When I got really fired up about the fires.
Fired up.
Climate change. We have to change the way our society works. But I could speak about that forever. That would...
Yeah.
This that's could be an hour and a half podcast.
That's a different podcast.
I know. Exactly. My thoughts exactly. Vancouver rebuilt again, of course. The Tremont Hotel was one of the first buildings to rebuild and began operations again after the fire, after setting up a temporary building on Carell Street.
Ooh.
Yeah, I love that I know all the names of these streets. Like they're still there in Vancouver.
Yeah.
They're still here in Vancouver. And you can see pictures, like, before, after, and now. And you can see just the progression of the city. It makes my heart warm. Within 3 days, a clothing store, a 3-story hotel, a pub, a hardware store, and a half dozen other firms were open for business. 3-story hotel in 3 days.
That seems like a safety hazard.
Yeah, but that's incredible.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to stay there. I wouldn't want to stay anywhere that I knew had been built in 3 days, but unless it's a tent.
There was tents. In fact, there's a famous photo of the City Hall tent that was erected at 3 a.m. the next day.
Wow.
Every time you look up the Great Vancouver Fire, This is like the first thing you'll see. It's a tent. It says City Hall. It's got a row of men, and they're all talking about blah, blah, blah. Let's build the city again. I think they got like $5,000 from the government to rebuild.
We can rebuild it. We have the technology.
So there would be 400 homes built in the next 3 months, and many of them built to the city's new bylaw requiring more sturdy construction, creating stronger, more fireproof homes, and becoming the Vancouver we know today, to get rebuilt into Gastown in, like, 1970.
Not
1970. No. Like, Gastown, when they went over it and made it all historic Gastown for, like, the Expo 86 or something. Yeah, so It didn't look like that. It didn't have like cobblestone roads or. That's all in the guise of making it look cool.
It's all lies. Lies and hearsay.
That's okay.
It
Everything's
does
allowed
look
to
cool.
progress,
Yeah.
and you know it, that's a great tourist area. I love like walking around there and of course taking the tour. So I guess I have to mention the tour, Lost Souls of Gastown, as one of my sources, because that would have been where I heard the story first. But I also the Museum of Vancouver has a great write-up, and that was the majority of where I got my facts. And they actually included the article from 4 days after that somebody had been able to get a hand their hands on and survives to this day. Vancouver's awesome. Had a great couple of articles, actually. One of them was like five things you didn't know about the Great Fire, which was great because now I know them and can explain them to you. Gastown.org had a write-up about the Great Fire and the Vancouver Sun and VancouverHistory.ca. So this was like a really fun one to get facts for. It was
Facts about fire bad.
fires. Well, it's just traumatic. Like there was one story that I read. A woman took a baby, and she climbed into the well, which was right behind the antique store.
Which antique store?
The one by like Homer Street, Homer Street and Alexander, you know, or Water Street, Homer and Water.
Oh, like the one with the basement
Yeah, it's
and
like right close to your.
that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, in the basement. Well, it used to be a bank, so there's
There's
like
the
a.
vault.
Yeah, there's a vault.
And now it's some hipster store.
Yeah, but behind there was a well. Woman and her baby crawled in, hoping to find safety, but
They died.
suffocation. So, if you're surrounded by fire,
Don't go in a well.
don't go in a well.
Just
And I
keep going.
know it seems like a good idea because you probably have nowhere else to go, but that's an awful way to die.
Yeah.
Burning is an awful way to die. I don't have any answers for you.
Yeah.
Just run. Run towards the
The
ocean.
ocean.
That would have been. Although now there's a fence there because of the train tracks, so it probably won't be as big or move as fast
Yeah.
anymore because we've learned in the last 140 years how to control fires a
Better.
bit better.
Yeah, and then you look at California.
I'm sorry, California. That really sucks.
Yeah.
I guess Will Smith's house got hit.
I think you said that,
I
yeah.
know. That makes me so sad, but he probably has another one.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, a lot of the celebrities and stuff, they probably have other homes, but also, of anyone, they can at least afford to rebuild.
Yeah, they can buy new homes.
Yeah.
They can literally like, oh, I'm just gonna withdraw. So those stories aren't the great ones because there's a whole bunch of people who are suffering and
Yeah.
losing their houses and have no other option. And the States is notorious for like, you know, bad insurance and
Yeah.
just denying claims and being awful in general.
Just making people who aren't already rich poorer.
So this episode is dedicated to the poor people of California who lost their homes. I'm
Yeah.
sorry. That sucks.
Yeah. I will say one person who I think his home was safe, but it was in danger was Guillermo del Toro's. That would have been sad just because of all the cool stuff he
Oh, he
has.
must have so much cool stuff.
Yeah, like it's
He
like,
like collects horror
yeah.
and loves.
It's not just like, ooh, rich people stuff. It's like, no, this is horror history in his home. So it was safe, apparently.
Good.
But
Oh, fire.
yeah, not good.
Man's red flower, most destructive of forces.
I saw like this post about some person's work. He was texting with their boss, or they were texting with their boss, and their homes, the workplace was in an evacuation area, and so they'd evacuated from their homes, and the boss was like, "Yeah, we understand, but like we're gonna be open tomorrow and everyone else is coming in." And he's like, "My home has been evacuated, and I really hope we see you at work tomorrow."
I have stuff to do.
Yeah.
God.
Capitalism.
Why? Why can't we just be good to each other? Why can't we build a society that, you know, meets people's needs?
Has empathy.
Has empathy. And that's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah.
I...
Yeah. Anywho, if you have any suggestions for topics, we are wide open for those. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
YouTube, if you want to complain about us.
Yeah. Although, on YouTube, we've also got other cool stuff. We post this podcast on YouTube, so you might be listening to it on here, but...
We've also been doing web series.
Yeah, like, interviews and movie reviews.
Short film reviews, and we're working on some other stuff, so we're really coming at you with a lot of content.
Yeah, and then also, so yeah, it really helps us out wherever you're listening to this, be it...
Spotify.
Yeah, that's the
Spotify, S1. Google Play, iTunes.
Please rate and review, but only if it's positive. If it's negative, just never listen to us again.
Did we get any negative reviews from the Satanic Panic episode?
I haven't seen any. Or I don't really get notifications for reviews on there, so I don't know. I don't know.
But we did our research, and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, maybe there's...
Yeah, no,
murders?
Was one person who, like, believed that, yes, the West Memphis 3 should have gone to jail, and the one who got the death sentence should have died. And it's like, no, they had zero physical evidence.
Nothing
and they said,
happened.
Oh, yeah, they said that they even confessed to it. Only one of them confessed. It was a coerced confession from the police, who only started recording, like, 2 hours into a three-hour interview.
Yeah.
And he kept getting all the facts that they wanted him to say wrong as well. And he was also, like, mentally, he was, like still a kid.
Yeah.
Even though he was 17. And he wasn't even actually friends with the other two.
So, we did our research.
Yeah.
We heavily vet our episodes.
Well, some more than others.
Some more than others.
Devil Monkeys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually made a mistake that we had to omit on the smallpox episode, but I won't get into that.
No.
But we do our research, we check everything. So, Satanic Panic was false. There wasn't widespread cult ritual abuse.
Yeah.
There wasn't huge conspiracies of gigantic satanic churches that were devil worshippers. We believe it. So... If you believe us, and you like all the content we're putting out, not just here on this podcast, but our short films, our 360 experiences.
Our web series.
Our web series, and you want to see us continue to do make more stuff. And help build the horror community, because we're doing a lot of upbuilding of the horror community, please support our Patreon.
Yeah. Patreon.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have anyone to shout out to this week, but if you join on there, then you'll be getting a shout out.
And access to exclusive content, and also direct access to us.
Yeah.
So I'm considerate. Even $1 a month helps.
Yeah.
All right. But until then, stay creepy.